Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have people who meet me first off and they think I'm a little asshole, and then they go, oh, he's not. I mean, he is, but he's funny.
What three wrestling matches would you watch if you were stranded on a desert island? This is what I'm asking wrestling's best. In the ring, around the ring, behind the scenes, or behind a microphone. I'm Tom Campbell. Thank you for joining me on Cultaholic Island for another episode of Desert Island Graps.
Men call me Absolute Ricky Starks. The ladies call me Stroke Daddy. I eat this business, and I sleep this business. I am too blessed, so that's why I stay dressed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And yeah, Ricky may act a little funny, but at the end of the day, I'm counting your money, all right?
I gotta testify. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky.
Ricky Starks, how you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
You know Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah, of course I do. I was just playing it earlier.
Where do you stand on scolding the dog?
I've never done that. I've never scolded the dog on there. I've always pet it.
See, this is the thing, right? That game, I know people who play it, and they are the most vile humans I've ever known, myself included. But we could rob virtual banks. We could kill virtual people. You tell us to scold a virtual dog? No, no chance. Monsters.
I don't know anyone that lose their minds. I can't believe it. People lose their minds over it.
It's not worth it. What else are you playing whilst in lockdown?
Well, I've been playing. Honestly, I've already completed Red Dead, so it's a matter of just playing that and just riding my horse around different areas. But I've also been replaying Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I feel like I've done most of the side missions already. I have been dealing with The Sims, so almost every day I'll go on and change the decor of my Sims home. And then I just get off, and then, yeah, if you thought trying to find something on Netflix was terrible, magnified by the fact that we're stuck inside, so now it's even worse.
Let's go back to The Sims for a sec. I've got to ask, when you play The Sims, have you made yourself, or have you made a fictional family?
Oh, I haven't made I didn't make myself. Honestly, when it comes to that part, I get it over with, and I just deal with The Sim. He's a bachelor right now. He has... he's trying to build up these relationships with people. I've constantly tried to flirt with people. I've been denied. I have a best friend named Doug on there. Doug drops by.
Doug sounds great.
Every day. He drops by every day unannounced. I'm telling you. And he walks into the house and he goes downstairs and he plays. I have a virtual game on there. He plays it. It's called like a cube something, or starts with a B, but he plays it every day, and there's nothing they do together. It's so weird. So I'm trying to get him a wife and some kids, but he's in this big mansion by himself, man, with nothing.
So nothing Doug, actually, I was quick to judge Doug. I thought he sounded like a great bloke, but if he just turns up, just plays your video games and leaves, he sounds like a jerk, mate. I ditch him.
He enters through the back door and he goes and he plays the game, or he'll get on the computer and I'm just like, who is in the house? I'm trying to sleep, and it's him.
Sickening behavior.
Yeah.
Exactly. Been off Doug completely. What an ass. We are here today, sadly not to talk at length about your Sims, but that might be another podcast for another time. But we're here to talk about sending you on a desert island, Ricky Starr. Yeah, do you know what? I think it's weird that when we started this show, the concept felt quite alien, you know, being stranded somewhere with just things to watch. Suddenly it's not so weird. We're sending you on this desert island. We're going to burn a DVD where you can, onto which we'll put three of your favorite wrestling matches to watch over and over and over again while you're there. So what would you like your first wrestling match to be, Ricky Starks?
So my first match is one of my favorite 10-man elimination matches from New Japan back in 1987. It's basically Team Inoki versus Team Choshu. And this one actually has a young Muta on Inoki's team. And dude, it's so great. It's so phenomenal. Anyone who's listening, I'm telling you, go on Daily Motion and look it up. Senior Lariotto posted it. But the date is like 8/19/1987. Yeah, so August 19th, 1987. And it has Inoki in it. It has Fujiwara and Muto against Choshu. Who is a strong machine? Fujinami, stuff like that.
Kimura, Maeda. Yeah, here we go. Inoki, Hoshino, Sekiguchi, Fujiwara, Muto versus Choshu, Maeda, strong machine, Kimura, and Fujinami. New Japan Pro Wrestling, 19th of August, 1987. I would not have picked you picking that. What's made you pick that particular match?
Well, you know what's funny? I think a lot of people have that same thought process with me, too. I watch a lot of different wrestling. I watched wrestling from the 1950s all the way up to today. This match in particular, though, is so phenomenal, is so perfect, because not only is it an elimination match, but each of the guys that get in, they all have a story somehow. And I'm not going to spoil the end, but the end is some of the best stuff you'll ever see. That crowd is phenomenal. I put that crowd on par with like the All Japan crowd from 97, 96, when Hayabusa was there and doing, you know, tag matches and stuff like that. So also, too, what a lot of people don't realize is that, do you remember the Survivor Series match from 2003? I believe it had Shawn Michaels in it.
Was it Team Austin, Team Bischoff?
Yeah, yeah. So that's the one where Shawn is like bleeding really bad, right?
Oh, yes. And it's just like, it's Shawn just fighting for his life. And then Batista turns up and ruins the day.
Yeah, he makes it all the way till the end or something like that, correct?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I remember.
So I want y'all to watch this match and then go and watch that match. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
When did you discover that match?
Dude, I discovered this back in, I want to say 2012, 2011. Because you got to keep in mind, too, around this period, Inoki does a lot of these elimination matches. And so there's another one, too, that doesn't have Muta in it. But this one is my favorite just because everything works so well.
Such a rich match. How old were you when you discovered it?
I was 22.
So where would you have been in the wrestling world at this point?
I was a year in. Yeah, I was a year into wrestling.
And so you'd have spent some time training, and you would have presumably by this point at least dabbled in the match for the first time. Was there anything from this match that you took in matches afterwards, or something that you still use to this day, something that is inspired, something in your repertoire from this particular match of legends?
If anything, it's just strictly emotion. I am a emotion built wrestler. And I'll tell you that firsthand. I don't have a lot of sequences that I, tie together for a good 2 minutes or 1 minute. I'm all about emotion. So this match is the epitome of emotion, honestly, because each guy brings a different flair to it, a different intensity to it, you know? And yeah, like I said, it's just a good melting pot of everything that's right.
If you've got the right intensity and the right energy in a wrestling match, you can pretty much bring that to life with anybody that you're in with there, anybody that you're in the ring with. And that can be a top quality wrestler, like anybody in that match. It can be somebody new, the main event of an NWA pay-per-view, or it could be a broom, Ricky.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the main event of the evening. The match the wrestling fans worldwide has been asking for as Broom challenges Ricky Starks. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Broom makes his entrance, coming down the aisle, looking confident, looking like he can handle Ricky Starks. Passing by his fans, Broom Fever sweeping this arena here tonight. And now, one of the greats in professional wrestling, Absolute Ricky Starks. Look at the eyes of Stroke Daddy. Those eyes fixed on his opponent. The determination, the will, the drive to win. Ricky Starks looks like he's ready for business as he climbs into the ring. This is one of the biggest matches of his life. Huge rivalry in the spirit of Flair, Steamboat, or Cena and Orton. And now we get underway.
I've most definitely wrestled a broom. You know, I never thought about that in my career until about a month ago, and it just happened. So here we are.
I love the story of you wrestling a broom, but I'd love you to entertain and educate with how the grudge match of the century during the quarantine era occurred.
You know what's funny about that is that I went on Twitter and all these shows were being canceled and everyone was stuck inside. And, you know, you see a lot of content nowadays that's either TikTok videos or home workouts or stuff like that, or people wrestling in empty arenas. And I made a little smart-ass joke about, you know, who would be interested in, like, I should just go ahead and wrestle in my living room. I think I said I'd wrestle a broom in my living room. And it got... It blew up in popularity so quick that I was like, oh, man, I think I have to pull the trigger on this. So the next day I was bored and I made a match graphic between me and this broom just because I like doing stuff on Photoshop. But two, I was just, like I said, I was just bored and I wanted people to see it. And then that blew up and I was like, oh, damn. So I basically booked myself in a corner here and. From there, I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and say that the show's canceled due to what was going on. And then the other half of me was like, well, man, that's happening for everyone. So why not try to do something fun or creative? So then I went to the local ring, and this is before everything got really locked down. And I had some people film me. And I want to say it took me 2 hours, and it was just me going off the cuff with ideas that I had. And that was my personal broom that I took from home, sadly, and it was ruined.
Oh, David, well, you were both ruined at the end of that match. It was quite the tour de force, from what I understand. But
that was a very stressful match. I don't know if you can hear it, but there was crowd noise. There's a big crowd. The broom had a great entrance song that he showed me on YouTube. So sweet.
But it's but it's great that there's people like yourself who are in this, who during this time are still putting out content and still creating sort of wrestling distraction. Would you possibly consider doing something like more stuff like that in the event that the wrestling doesn't get quite going just yet? Would you go back to the training school? Would you do more silly stuff like that?
You know, if I'm allowed to go, you know, go back to there, I definitely think I would. But here's the issue with me is that I don't like to force an idea, you know? So if it comes to me, it comes to me, and then I'll act on it. But otherwise, I won't rack my brain on about doing something just because when it comes off, it's not very genuine. And 9 times out of 10 is not funny. So if something comes up to me and I can think of something else that would be cool to do, then for sure I'm going to go and do that.
Your second match for your DVD, sir. So we've had a belt of a star-studded 10-man tag. How about your second match? What would you like to have?
Honestly, I'm going to go, and this was a hard one, but I definitely will say Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels. Part one.
In the beginning, darkness moved across the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. Night. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Undertaker, I have eternal life. It was you who opened the gates to hell. Shawn Michaels. You will realize that I am the most dangerous entity that has ever stepped foot in this ring. The Undertaker strikes fear in the hearts of all of his opponents, yet here I stand unafraid. Now you say you're not afraid of me, but for 16 WrestleManias they have come, and for 16 WrestleManias they have fallen. Must come to an end at WrestleMania 25. Undefeated streak, you will rest in peace. Sometimes it is hell trying to get to heaven.
The debut album is always better than the sophomore album, as they say. If you have not seen that match from top to bottom is absolutely incredible. It's an incredible match just from a storytelling aspect. And there's so much going on the line because the years previous, it's Taker's career, you know, his streak is on the line for sure. But we're at this point in wrestling, we have Shawn Michaels who put his whole career on the line against Taker's streak. So it's very up in the air. I hadn't felt this up in the air about the outcome of a match for Taker at Mania, at least, since Taker versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania 21.
It felt like the streak was really in jeopardy here, and it's especially in the last sort of 5-10 minutes more than anything else, where it just went into overdrive, it felt like.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about it, is to be able to do it for so long and then still have that feeling. It was a feat within itself.
Where were you when you watched it?
Man, where was I? I want to say, what year was that? I want to say I was at home watching this. I don't think this was before the network for sure. I was living in Austin at the time when that happened, and I was watching on my computer from a stream. So I was definitely by myself watching that for sure. Because honestly, when it comes to, here's the thing about me, man. When I watch wrestling, I don't want to watch with someone who's new to it, because then that opens up so many questions, right? Like, imagine going to watch the Avengers and someone who's never seen the Avengers before. It's like, oh, who's this person? Oh, what does he do? What does this person do? Why does he dress like that? It's like, I'm trying to watch it too. So
we've just had the first empty arena WrestleMania. Did you enjoy the Boneyard match, Ricky?
I love the Boneyard match, and I love Firefly House?
It was the Firefly Funhouse match.
Firefly, yeah, I love that. I love both of them, and I think it works because, obviously, when you watch a wrestling show with no fans in your brain, that's weird, but when you watch wrestling that takes place in another setting, it isn't that weird, and it is normal, and it's a memory of something that, you know, is is comfortable with you. So I think that's why it was pretty well received across a lot of people, just because it's finally we get some type of normalcy back, you know. And in addition to that, it was awesome to have Taker be in it as well. In his natural setting, I should have produced that. That was great. That was absolutely amazing.
We could have nearly got Undertaker versus a broom.
You know what? Honestly, screw the broom. I would put myself in there to wrestle Undertaker and produce it in a boneyard match. Oh hell yeah! But honestly, I would have done one part where I would have jumped up on the tree branch and just swung into a drop kick or Hurricane Rana or something. So many ideas.
But here's the funny thing, which people might not know. You, when you talk about I'd have got in there with the Undertaker, you kind of already have.
Yeah, I have. And that's the cool thing too is being in the ring with him was because I'm a big fan, man. So imagine you think of who your favorite wrestler of all time is, and imagine just being in the ring with them for like a few days, three days, whatever. It's such a So it's still weird to even think about today that happened. It's absolutely insane.
What's the story there is he came to your, was it your training school or your gym?
So he was So the quick story is he was at the same gym that I was at. And so he was training there, I think, to get ready for his match against Shane at WrestleMania. And so I was going at that gym too, at the same time that he was, just because I was working out and that was the only time I had free time to really get a workout in. And so we were friends there, or I wouldn't say friends, but you know, we got friendly with each other, and he was filming a documentary, a personal documentary. And so the guy that was filming it knew that I was a big fan and asked me to give some comments, and I did. And then I want to say a year or two later, he remembered that I lived in Austin and he was trying to get ready for his match against Cena, and asked me and my tag partner Solo, and we went and just rolled around the ring with him for about 3 days because he had a ring there. And yeah, that was really it. Just a laid back dude who's full of advice, thank God.
Tell us something that the Undertaker advised you on.
Well, just different things about the business, and more importantly, it's just about having respect for yourself at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like being able to get through life without having to screw anyone over, or just being a good human at the end of it. You know what I'm saying? Making sure that your quality of life mentally and physically is as good as you can get it to be. But just on top of that, just the stories he's also was telling too about when he was coming up and things like that were hilarious.
And am I right in thinking you went for food with him as well?
Yeah, we went and ate barbecue with them, and so we did a documentary on me and Solo did a documentary on ourselves about making it in wrestling. And so in that documentary, we were filmed at a barbecue spot where we're just sitting down and talking to him and listening to his life advice and from his perspective on things.
And the question that I need to ask is, what did he order from the barbecue place?
Yo, he actually ordered a full spread. So it was like a bit of everything, a bit of brisket, sausage, macaroni. He has his favorites, and I had never been to this barbecue spot. So he was just telling me and basically getting me to try certain stuff that was there that was really good. And that barbecue spot is pretty, pretty dope.
Where is it? Give it a plug.
It's actually in Bee Caves, which is maybe a few, I want to say like 30 minutes outside of Austin. But the place is called Schmidt Barbecue in Bee Cave, Texas. It's legit. It's really, really good. I advise anyone who's listening to go there if you're in Austin, Texas, and you have about 30 to 40 minutes to spare to drive there.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
What was the moment where you decided, you know what, I don't want to just watch wrestling, I want to be in the wrestling?
Oh, man, that happened when I was, it happened when I was very young, like 5, but I remember vividly stating it to my mom when I was 8. And so I told her that I was going to be a wrestler, and I stuck to it. And honestly, wrestling was the only thing that I watched when I was, growing up. So it kind of turned into an obsession from there. And then I just snowballed. So I kept my promise when I got older, especially. The funny thing is in 2010, I was looking to join the school here, a school locally, but I didn't have a job. Or it wasn't I have a job, I just didn't have a car to make it to training every day until I was able to get my car the following year. And things just fell into place that way.
Fast forward from that, somebody who was, you know, missing a car and not able to get training immediately to now being able to say that you've been an NWA champion and you work for the National Wrestling Alliance. How did your relationship start with the NWA?
It's funny. I made these vignettes online because just creatively I wanted to do something. So I produced these vignettes in my head, and then I put it to a pen to paper, found a video guy here in town, and then we went out and filmed it. And I told him the things that I wanted. I wanted certain colors. I wanted it shot this way, this and that. And really, I think it was just a way for me to express some type of deeper frustration I had at the time where nothing was going on for me. But also, too, I have these ideas, and they're so, you know, big and somewhat avant-garde that I wanted to just see what it looked like if I tried it. And so I did these vignettes. They're still online. And that caught the eye of Nick Aldis. And Nick Aldis sent that vignette without actually seeing a match for me. He sent that to Logano. And so it started from there where Logano messaged me. It was like, hey, you know, you're pretty creative. Would you like to come in for NWA 70? And then I did a show at NWA 70 for the national title, a tournament style. I cut a promos there, and then I had the match. And afterwards, it kind of just went from there. I think they were surprised by the fact that I could wrestle and I could talk. And then I had this creative mind too, so I think that's how it all started.
And that in itself comes back to the match with the broom. It's that idea of taking that sort of creative energy when it's there and putting something out into the world. And right. What you got back was something incredible because you've now been a part of NWA since then.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it. And I'll tell you too. Each of those videos cost me roughly around like $600, between $500 and $600. And I did 4 of them. So you can do the math on that. And while there is not, at the time, I vividly remember showing some people videos and they go, how much you spend on this? And I tell them, they go, why are you doing that? Why are you spending why are you spending that large amount on something that you may not get a return on immediately? To me, it was more about, I have no other option, you know. People talk about using social media and the internet and all this other stuff, and they really glamorize that. But that does nothing for someone who doesn't even have an idea to begin with of how to utilize it. Utilizing social media isn't just a matter of just posting every day, you know, and talking to people. It's more. It should be, if anything, social media should be a form for people to provide an art that can be in the form of anything. It's just how someone else feels after receiving it. That's what real art is. So to me, I just thought, you know, I'm going to do that because it's going to pay off somewhere down the line. I don't know how, and I can't predict how, but it will pay off in some way that I can't see right now. And look at us now. Wow, look at us.
I was about to say, it's that clip, isn't it? On the what looks
yeah.
like
Paul Rudd.
It's the we're doing a Paul Rudd special, my friend, you and I. Describe wrestling at the for NWA Power, because that is such a in comparison to today, it is such a unique and wonderful setup.
It's very intimate. It's something that, I mean, I've been in intimate environments before where I've had wrestlers literally on the apron surrounded by the whole ring. But this one's pretty cool because there's a weird energy that the fans give off. And I think it works just because they want to see good wrestling. But two, I think people just like being a part of something from the ground floor and seeing that blossom. So I think that is a good relationship to have, especially with the fans there, because, you know, you don't really get people who are going to just sit on their hands while they watch. They pay their money. They want to feel something. They want to be emotionally charged. And so I think that helps. I'll tell you what, though, the first day that I went there and I walked out, it was weird as hell to me. There's no theme song, and theme, that's my whole thing. My whole thing is my theme song. And there was no reaction to me. And it wasn't only until after the fact that people were like, oh, okay, because I'm a bit of a, I don't know, polarizing person, because you don't know what to expect, or you look at me and you just make an assumption off the bat, and that kind of clouds people's judgment a bit.
But it's quite unique in a way. It's unique to have someone like yourself on the roster who is so good at what they do, but also has those shades of gray in there, where like you're not yeah. like a clean cut baby face, you're not a sort of a cool cocky bad heel. You kind of float between the two, and it works wonderfully.
You know, I never thought about that. And I think that's been such a struggle sometimes, especially because people think this is a character, and it isn't a character. Nothing I do is in character. It's just, that's just me. And that's just me who, it's basically what I want to show people. So it's always been an issue with that. And I like the way that you put that, because there's been times where I struggle with that, where I want people to know that I'm not this type of person. And I'm talking outside of wrestling here, but I have people who meet me first off and they think I'm a little asshole. And then they go, oh, he's not. I mean, he is, but he's funny. And there's other elements to him that make him very endearing. So, you know, stuff like that.
Why do you think people think that you're an asshole when they meet you?
Well, I think it's the whole getup. It's the whole, like, who wears a shirt, a leopard shirt with their chest showing. The smirk I do is so weird. I'm very, they say, sassy in my delivery and bit feminine in certain things. So I think when people see that, they in their head for some reason it just goes, oh, he's a little full of himself, or he's a little cocky dude. I'm very sarcastic. I have a very dry sense of humor, and I can play a good poker face when I want to. So I think with all that, people just go, oh, here's the thing. If you look at someone and you can't read someone and you can't figure them out immediately, the thing that's going to pop into your head is a negative thought. Your mind wants you to give somebody some type of label that you just see off the cuff because you can't figure it out from just viewing them. So I think that's what it is. People want to put other people that they see on TV into some type of category, so it's easier for them to digest and understand. And so if that's the case of with me, where they go, Here's one thing. Here's the thing I hear a lot. I just don't get him. I just don't get it. Well, of course not. Of course you don't get me. You haven't spoken to me. You haven't seen me. You haven't took the time to watch promos from me or see how I act when I'm home. So of course you won't get it.
Is there anybody in your life right now that when you met for the first time, they had a negative opinion on you, but now like you couldn't imagine not seeing them?
Damn, you know what? I feel like there is, but I can't think of who that could be. There's people that I've met that have told me that they thought I was one way and found out I was extremely goofy. But I can't remember off the top of my head. If anything, the only person I could probably say was Alley Cat. Alley Cat thought I was very, very mean when she first met me because I went to the school that she was at, and I think she did like a quarter roll, and I blatantly told her, I said, you know, those quarter rolls suck. You need to get better at them. And I showed her how to do it. But that would be the one person off the top of my head who definitely was like, I thought you were like kind of mean at first. And then I realized that's just how you are.
That's a great feeling though, when you kind of get to know somebody and they come round on you like that. And I take it you and Alley Cat are now your friends now.
Oh, we're good friends. Yeah, we're really, really good friends. And I think it's a matter of, that's all it takes, man. It just takes a matter of understanding. I'm gonna tell you what, I've met some people that I've initially thought, wow, this person is such a B word. But after getting to know, I go, wow, I'm wrong. I get it now. I totally get it. And that feeling in itself is pretty cool as well.
You're good friends with Eddie Kingston, who I know is part of NWA as well. How did you guys meet?
I'm really good friends with ACH Albert. And ACH would tell me all about Eddie, like, because they hung out a lot. And so I remember meeting Eddie at maybe an Inspire or actually, it may have been before that. I think it was at like St. Louis Anarchy. And I remember meeting him, and we just started because we heard of each other so much through ACH that it didn't felt like it was a first time meeting. It felt like we had knew each other for a bit. So, yeah, just hitting it off with Eddie. Eddie's cool as hell. If anything, Eddie is the guy. And here's the funny thing: two polar opposites. Eddie is the guy who actually gets me. He understands me without me having explained anything to him. And I think that's really cool to have, especially from someone like Eddie Kingston, who one doesn't take any shit and is as genuine as you can get when it comes to someone in the wrestling business or in life. The video I cut after I win the TV title, my eyes keep diverting off the screen like a lot to the point that's very distracting.
History has been made. The buildup's been for weeks now, even months. Ricky Stark standing next to me. You've said it from the moment you stepped foot in the NWA. You needed gold on that shoulder. And tonight, Hard Times, the first ever of this generation television champion.
Man, let me tell you something about Hard Times. Hard Times is doing three matches in a night. Hard Times is going toe-to-toe with Trevor Murdoch. Hard Times is standing right here before you. It's Hard Times for everybody now that Ricky Starks is the new TV champion. You understand what I'm saying? That's what Hard Times is. We in a new era right now. I'm the bridge. You know what I'm saying? I'm the bridge from the old to the new. If you got doubts about me, you better check yourself. If you're asking about me, you better ask yourself. All right? That's the thing. Nobody gonna stop this. It's been 9 years in the making. 9 long damn years in the making, all right? You might as well call me a Tempur-Pedic how much all these people done slept on me, but we not talking about that right now. We talking about this. We talking about crowning a new champion. We talking about setting a new lineage and a new era. Everything in the past, hey, I salute you, but guess what? It starts with me. And it starts right now. And there ain't nobody that can tell me different. You know why? Because I'm absolute Ricky Starks. I'm stroke daddy, Ricky Starks. Put a quarter in your ass because everybody who doubted me, you played yourself.
I had my match and I had 3 matches that night. Had my match, came to the back. They wanted to talk to me. And so I cut this promo and I remember Eddie walked up. And I can see, and I can't see far, mind you. So Eddie is pretty off in the distance. But I remember he came up, and I could tell that he, like, stood there and folded his arms. And as I'm talking, his head nod He was nodding his head. That got heavier, and the smile on his face got bigger. And so you can see me look at him, and I just get that energy, that the transfer of energy right there happened. And you can see me get even more fired up. So he's always been a dude to that talks to me and gives me advice on how to cut promos. And of course, I'm going to listen, but it's because he gets it from more of a personal standpoint of who I am and where I'm coming from. Whereas some people just don't, you know, some people in higher positions, I would assume would be like, I don't necessarily get that. And that's just because they don't have that type of life or, you know, life experience, home life experience that me and Eddie share in a sense.
But to have somebody like Eddie in your corner at NWA must be amazing.
It is. It's a fantastic feeling because I know if I stink up the joint, I can go to the back and he'll tell me that I did, but he'll also tell me why. And I think that's pretty lost on some people. Some people just constantly, I don't want to hear that I had a great match. I don't want to hear that constantly from my peers. I know that there's something that was a bit amiss because everyone has a different perspective on things. So him and Homicide have been great when it comes to helping me out with stuff like that.
As well as taking three wrestling matches onto this island, I like to spring this on people. You can also take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item.
Oh,
so off the top of your head, Ricky, if you're going to take a movie with you, what movie would you take?
I'm going to take Akira.
Nice. Nice one. Yeah. The not the American version, obviously. The original version.
Yeah, come on. I got that on Blu-ray, finally. But you know, honestly, I was going to, I say that, but what I would do is I would sneak a Kill Bill disc. And you know, you can have two discs in one of those little packages.
Oh, you're bending the rules here, Ricky.
But that's
we'll
not bending the rules.
We'll get confiscated. If we find it, we'll confiscate it.
That's a technicality.
Which Kill Bill would you sneak in if you got to sneak in one, the first or the second?
Definitely the first one. I really like the second one, but the second one isn't anything without the first one, obviously. Though the second one has, damn, the second one is so good when it comes to the fight scenes and how everything is set up. That's a hard one. Yeah, I still would do the first one.
All right. Well, I mean, it's getting confiscated anyway, so it's up to you. You could argue about it or you like. What about an album?
An album I would do, I would probably do The Love Below, Speaker Box, The Outcast, double disc album.
Why that one?
Well, I don't really care for Big Boys. I don't care for Speaker Box in there, you know, with the exception of a few songs. But Andre 3000, The Love Below, is so good. It from top to bottom, it's so freaking good, man. Andre is one of my favorite rappers, next to Kanye. And I remember listening to that Love Below album and wearing it out. I even did a cover song to Roses, because I used to be on this forum back in the day, and I did this diss song about someone on that forum to the instrumental to Roses. So it has a very special place in my heart.
Do you still dabble in diss tracks?
No, not anymore. If anything, if you catch me, you know, loaded off of a good alcoholic beverage, you probably hear me rap, but that's probably it.
Okay, well, if you happen to see Ricky at a show, buy him alcohol and record on your iPhone. That'd be great. And a luxury item, sir. What would you like to take with you that's not really an album or a movie or a wrestling match, but something that would, a creature comfort, if you will, whilst on the island?
Like Strongbow? I don't know.
Strongbow?
No. Can I do that? Can I bring that?
Yeah, why not? What, do you mean the drink?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought so. I thought I'd double check. I thought you might want to take a bow for hunting or something on the island. I don't know. So I thought I'd double check. You're a Strongbow fan.
Yeah, actually, when I went over there, Session Moth showed me this drink where she mixed a Strongbow and another drink together. I can't remember what it was, and I was like, "That's fucking terrible. Don't do that. And it was so good. Like, so good. So I'm a big Strongbow fan. But, you know, I feel like that's not practical, you know? I don't feel like I'm going to just be dehydrated on an island. And then what? I need water, and I can't drink salt water. Let me change it. I'm going to change that. Let me change that.
Okay.
I'm going to say, because I really like, this is so difficult. Can I bring a tablet? Can I bring an iPad?
You can, but you won't be able to use the internet on it.
Yeah, well, it don't matter because I saved a bunch of wrestling. I ripped a bunch of wrestling matches from the internet.
No, you've broken the Desert Island crap system. You've taken 400 other matches with you. You've cracked it. That's it. End of series now. This is the last episode in the Desert Island crap series. Thanks for listening. A good 31-week run. You want to take a tablet, though? Do you play games on the tablet?
No, I don't. I actually... Really, I only use the tablet for like a movie viewing and things like that. If anything, I would probably load up the tablet with some books, some digital books. I really am big into autobiographies, of course. And then I'm reading this current book called Lynchpin by Seth Godin. It's really, really good.
What brought you to that book, to Lynchpin?
You know what? I'm trying to remember. I think I saw on Instagram one time, someone took a picture of one of the pages, right? Because they thought one of the words were very meaningful. And so I went and looked up this book, and I found it, actually, in Barnes & Noble. And basically, this book is about changing your whole mindset about... You know how people just go to work and they clock in, clock out, and they don't really do anything meaningful to themselves that in turn would be meaningful to the world. Well, this is the way to like get out of that rut, to show you different things as far as, hey, you are very powerful as far as your mind goes, and you definitely are creative. It's just a matter of finding those opportunities and seeing those opportunities and acting on them.
That sounds like a great book. It's something I think we could all probably do with.
If anything, it may be free online. I don't know. This was $16 when I paid for it. But I would tell anyone to at least give it a shot and read about it.
Have you been at a wrestling show and a bit of this book has come back to you and you've implemented it?
Oh, absolutely. Especially in wrestling. Because this book is about trying to train your mind to become... linchpins, to become artists, to do the emotional work, as he says. And that's a matter of just doing shit in life that you really want to do and not have to follow some, like, you know, guideline or society standard type stuff.
Finally, before we let you go, we need one more match. We need one more match, sir, for your Desert Island disc. We've had an Undertaker and Shawn Michaels classic. We've had a 10-man tag full of legends. What's your last one, sir?
So this was a very difficult one, and I'll tell you the one I was going to choose before this one, but so my match that I would definitely have to have would be Misawa and Akiyama versus Jinsei and Hayabusa, and that's from 97. 最強タッグ初参戦新崎人生です。
火の鳥はやぶさであります。去年の悔しさを今年の番にします。秋山純。去年負けたその悔しさを今年に晴らします。三沢光晴。
This match is insane. This is one of the like, first off, we have legends in the ring, but the crowd also goes crazy. And I know people have this like a preconceived idea about Hayabusa. If you never watched Hayabusa, he wasn't just, you know, just doing dumb shit. This dude was insane as far as the stuff that he was able to pull off so quickly without hesitation. One of my favorite matches to watch. I'll go back and watch it. I watched it recently in my house, and I was getting so fired up watching it. I love this match.
How did you discover it?
I honestly don't remember. So I knew that the golden age for All Japan Pro was you know, tag team focused too, besides the single stuff. So I think I probably just went on and found this and just typed in tag matches from All Japan. But yeah, it's been a while. There's a bunch of stuff that I found that I just can't remember. Some stuff with like a Super Delphin on here that I have. I think that's how it started, from Super Delphin, and I just went down a rabbit hole.
Two of your matches have been from Japan, so there's obviously a big love for Japan there. You went to DDT as a gaijin last year. How amazing is that as an experience?
Man, I can't put that into words how surreal that was. That just blew my mind. And you know what's the crazy part about it? I went on Twitter in January, because I went in April. I went on Twitter in January and I said, this year I'm going to go to Japan. But I didn't know how at the time. I was just stating something, you know. You know, you just go on Twitter and you just type in something that's on your mind and you may delete it a few days later or whatnot. Well, I went on there, posted that, and then I had this show for Macaloon Productions during the Super Bowl weekend or whatever. I went there. I was at the show. Kikutaru was there, and he came up to me. He was like, "Oh, are you interested in going to DDT? Blah blah blah." Long story short, he says, "Do these dates work for you? Would you be able to do these dates?" I said, "Yeah, of course, for sure." What? Next thing I know, I'm going to the embassy, the Japanese embassy, to get my passport and this and that. Then I'm on like a, 10-hour, 11-hour flight to Japan. Then I'm getting off of the flight to Japan, and I'm in a van driving to where I'm going to stay. And I remember I went to the 7-Eleven there, or the Lawson, excuse me, and I had yakisoba noodles with a chicken breast. That was my very first meal I had in Japan, and I slept on the floor with a small heater next to me and woke up so happy. Such a great place to live. Those people are great. The wrestling is phenomenal. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of stuff there.
What I love is when you talk about it, you light up.
Because that's genuine. You know, that's that is such a... I just remember like thinking about trying to take in the moment, and there were some times where it was tough just because of like a small culture shock, you know what I'm saying? But once I got over that, I was like, this culture, this place is beautiful. This is like another planet.
Their plans, obviously, this year is a strange one. So obviously, yeah. No plans immediately. But are there plans to go back?
As of right now, no, there isn't. But I would definitely love to. I have a good friend over there. He's staying, Chris Brooks. And I would love to. It's always good when you know people in another country, right? So I think that would be great to just see Chris again and also go back and wrestle. But as of right now, there isn't any plans. But one thing I've learned, things change so quickly that I could be on a plane in 4 months. Who knows?
Exactly. And also, when you go over there, there's the small matter of getting yourself on the champions board for the Ironman Heavy Metalweight Championship.
I missed out on it, but you know what? That's okay, because I got to wrestle in Corkin.
I think given the two, Corkin is certainly one of them. But I'm just thinking, sure. I'm thinking outside the box. The broom... Now, we've had... You're there already. Because a ladder and at least one chair and Jack in our office have won the Ironman Heavy Metalweight Championship.
Dude.
So, which is something he never shuts up about. And so my thinking is, the Broom and you for the Iron Man Metal Heavyweight Championship should happen in 2021.
I love that idea. And you know what? I'm actually going to pitch that to Takagi-san and see if he's down for it.
Please do. Please do. If for my own amusement, please do.
Right. I'm down for that.
Ricky, this has been fabulous to chat to you today. I've really, really enjoyed our time. I want to give you the floor now to tell everybody where they can find you online, anything that you've got that you want to shout about. This is your time to do so, sir.
For sure. You can find me on Twitter at StarkManJones, and you can find me on Instagram at StarkyBaby. Those are the main two places. I do have a Big Cartel website, RickyStarks.BigCartel.com. And those are the main ones for me. I did mention earlier that I had an honorable mention match. I know that's not against the that's against the rules, but I just wanted to give the listener, a idea of my two choices that I had for that match. If it wasn't going to be the Hayabusa match, I was actually going to choose. I don't know if you ever seen In Your House, Canadian Stampede.
Ah, yeah.
But there's the Hart Foundation versus Team Austin is the main event, that one. And that is chef's kiss. Superb.
That is a good alternate. That is a strong alternate.
Yeah.
But you can't have alternates, so no.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.